The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews, and I'm already entertained.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Okay, then let's stop. We're fine.
Yeah, okay, well, that's it. Thanks for tuning in. Actually, I'm entertained because our Skype... We both record our podcasts from different places because we don't live near each other, and we're doing this over Skype and on GarageBand at the same time, and there's a lot of technical stuff, but right now it's like 2 seconds behind, Michelle. The video I'm looking at is 2 seconds behind.
That's your connection.
I mean, I'm not accusing you.
Okay.
I'm just saying it's funny because I was listening to you do the welcome and watching you, and it's like when you're watching TV and it's like the vocals are off.
That is so
of the
annoying.
Pitch. It's so annoying. You can't stop noticing it.
Then don't look at me.
I guess I won't be able to look at you. Don't look at me.
I'm horrible.
Don't look at me.
Don't look at me. I am horrible. I've been at the gym and I haven't showered.
What was that class you were taking? Tantric?
No.
Yoga sex?
No.
What was it?
It wasn't even yoga.
Okay, but it was something tantra.
Tabata.
That's where I got that.
Tabata.
What is that?
It's nothing.
Is it dancey?
No. Tabata is like a hard-ass workout where you have these exercises you do, and you're on doing it at full force for, 20 seconds, rest 10 seconds, on 20 seconds, rest 10 seconds.
Like what? Give me an example of one of them.
Okay, so one of them was, it was really hard today too. I had
like, what do you do for 20 seconds? What is it?
I had, let's say, 2 10-pound weights in my hands and a step in front of me, and I would like have to step on with my right foot, lift my left knee up as high as I could at the same time as I was pressing up with the 10-pound weights, and then come back down off the step into a lunge.
Mm. How many of those do you get done in 20 seconds? Two?
I don't know. I try not to count them, although my OCD kicks in. No, two. Like
10.
Like 10.
Okay.
I think. But it was so packed.
What's the name of it? I've never even heard of this. It sounds like some new finagled, hippy-dippy, tree-hugging.
No, it's not, it's Tabata. It's like kick your ass work. It's kind of like a boot camp kind of.
I mean, thing. I trust you that it was hard, but I just never heard the word Tabata. It sounds like...
Well... If you it go sounds to the, maybe
Eastern.
You should try going to the gym.
I go to the gym. I told you my story about, didn't I tell you when my headphones were not in my ears and I was listening to Eminem, which is my jam?
No.
And it turns out that everybody could hear me for the whole hour I was there because I had it on, but my headphones weren't connected.
You mean everybody was listening to Eminem?
Well, anybody that was there was probably looking at me like, that bitch, she's... What is she doing? She doesn't realize the music is not coming from her headphones. I was so in the zone.
Oh my God. Somebody at my gym would have totally been like, can you please stop that?
This is like a city rec sen, and usually there's like maybe 10 people in the weight room, which is the only room. So that's where I was. And I guess everyone had their own music playing, so nobody really noticed. But I was mortified when I left and realized that for that entire time. Plus, it's embarrassing. I'm listening to Pandora Eminem. So it's like hardcore, horrible. Like, this guy's like.
On your phone?
Yes, but I had my headphones in my ears, but I didn't have the connector in. Yeah.
So you must not turn up your volume very loud, because I would have been like, what is wrong with this freaking thing?
No, the volume on the phone was up all the way, but I just didn't notice that I was listening to it along with everybody else. I wasn't actually listening to it in my earbuds.
That's so funny.
So. The point of that story is to tell you that I do, in fact, work out.
Okay.
I just don't take classes because I get very self-conscious. I am not a class person.
And I'm not disciplined to not go to a class. Like, I feel like I don't work out as hard if I don't go to a class. Okay, because I just feel like your nice, tall, slender body is just, you know, the way it is without working out.
It's a lot of genetics. I am lucky because really... I have a confession to make.
Okay. What?
I eat a lot of fast food.
like a lot.
Like, I probably have fast food. And this is like, my ears are burning because I'm so filled with shame and embarrassment about this. But
I won't look at you.
I probably eat fast food 4 to 5 times a week.
What?
I know.
Where? Where are you eating this?
Like, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Where?
Taco Bell or Jack in the Box or Chick-fil-A sometimes. And then I have to make a donation to the Human Rights Campaign because I feel bad because Chick-fil-A, you know, they're not all about the gays like I am. So it's a lot of fast food. It's a lot of guilt. So when I work out, I'm probably only working out to, like, get a portion of that Big Mac off. It's not really, it's bad.
Well, thank you. Listen, the first step is admitting you have a problem.
Yeah.
So now,
I'm sweating a little bit. Oof.
Well, good that you're sweating because you're getting toxins from that horrible chemical food that you're eating.
That's true. Oh, that's true. And really, I work out at the gym when my kid's taking karate class. So it's like, I have to be there anyway, you know.
So once a week? How often do you go?
Twice a week, and sometimes we go on a Saturday, and he takes a Saturday class.
Okay.
You go 5 times a week?
4 or 5 times a week, and I teach yoga.
But, Michelle, I looked like this when you met me.
I know.
And you did not look like what you look like now when I met you. You know, you have transformed your body. For real.
I know I have. I'm very proud of myself for it. Yeah, but it's a really I used to eat a shit ton of fast food. I did.
I ate so much fast food.
And
I gotta stop.
I really miss Jack in the Box. Oh no, is it Jack in the Box? Yeah, I feel like there's no Jack in the Box here in Massachusetts. And I remember when we first moved here, we were looking for a Taco Bell and we drove like over 30 minutes to find one. I haven't eaten at Taco Bell, by the way, and I don't even know how many years.
Ugh.
And I love Taco Bell. In fact, it was so funny. We saw an advertisement. I don't even know where because we don't have cable anymore. That there's like a Dorito chips burrito or something at Taco Bell.
They've been doing the Dorito thing for a while. Is it inside the burrito?
I think so. And Jose Luis said, "Should we try that?" And I'm like, I don't know. I think if we did try it, we'd be really stoned one day and be like,
"Yeah,
let's go get that." Dorito.
Yeah, and then you'd have to plan ahead so that
we'd have to Uber and like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but if you haven't had it in so long, you can't break the seal. Like, you don't ever eat Taco Bell again. Next time you want to go, text me and I'll talk you off the taco ledge.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, I'll probably be paying for it for like a week after. I will be in so much pain in my body. I'll be honest, I'll be in the toilet all the time. It'll be bad.
I'm like immune to it now. It's like,
we are disgusting right now.
Well, that's the first 8 minutes of talking about working out and fast food. Now you know a little bit more about us. What are we talking about on the podcast today, though?
Well, Christy, today we're talking about toasts, and not the kind you put in the toaster.
Mm-mm.
The kind you speak that went at a wedding.
At a wedding,
in honor of the couple.
Yes, and I will say that toasts are my favorite part of a wedding. Every wedding that I do, I listen to the toast kind of like at the end, you know, back of the room holding my clipboard, and I almost always tear up. And whether I've been working with a couple for a year or just a couple weeks, which is sometimes the case, you learn so much about people when their loved ones talk about them.
Yeah.
And I get really enthusiastic about toasts. I go over everything with the whole wedding party at the rehearsal, because usually anyone that's giving a toast is there at the rehearsal because they're part of the wedding party, or they're a family member. And we talk about, you know, how long your toast should be and when your toast is going to be and, you know, who's giving toast when and all that stuff that goes into the timeline. But it's also just a cool way for people to share their love for one another. I mean, truly, when else in your life are you going to be in a room where people that love you are going to stand up and talk about how much they love you and how awesome you are? The only other time that happens is at your funeral.
And you're not even there.
And you're not even there. So that's like, you enjoy this. And that's the kind of like pep talk I have to give to my couples sometimes when they're like, we have four people that want to give a toast. And that just seems like too much. And
oh, I know. And they complain about
on it. And on. And I don't know. How do we only have two? Or is four okay? And I'm of the mind that the more people that want to toast, the better. Let's just figure out the best way to time it all out.
You know, that's a I have to commend you on that, because I haven't even I'm going to be honest, in the 14 years I've been doing this, I've had people say like, "Oh my god, like I've got 5 people or 7 people." And I'm like, "Oh no. Okay, how are you've got to tell them to keep it down." But Christy, you're right. Like, they should be like, "How amazing, how sweet that somebody's going to talk so nicely about me at my wedding day. Like, how are we going to fit this in, Michelle? We have to fit this in," instead right. of, "Oh my God, there's going to be 6 people."
Yeah, it's going to be
You're
boring.
Right.
The guests
You're
are
right.
going to fall asleep. Like, rarely do toasts equal disaster.
No, I mean, well,
there are
no.
better. There are toasts that are better, and there are toasts that are like, there's certainly an art to the toast, and I can't review every toast. Obviously, the best man is not going to hand me his toast and be like, "What do you think? Should we go rehearse this?" Like, no, it's a surprise to me, just like it's a surprise to the couple. But 9 times out of 10, and this is the truth, 9 times out of 10 for me, they nail it. Whether yeah. it's 2 minutes long or 10 minutes long, you know, some are funnier, some are more touching, but there's the occasional like inappropriate or.
Well, yeah, that's, maybe I've had that. Yeah.
Right. Or maybe too long, or maybe the guy's a little bit drunk.
Well, but that's exactly what
it is. It's occasional.
It's the drunk ones that are yeah. not, that you have, that you, they were not on the list, they're not in the schedule, and they go directly to the DJ and say, "Give me the microphone."
Right.
That's what we have to police as the wedding consultants
yeah.
on site, is that right
yes.
there.
Totally. And that was one of the notes I put in here, right? On things to remember. If you have a guest that wants to give a toast and you don't want them to because it's a big fucking liability, whether it's a person at your wedding party or it's your brother, but you know, like, do not let him give a toast. This is going to be a disaster. You have to tell your planner that. And if you don't have a planner, you have to tell your DJ.
Yes.
Because somebody needs to be able to keep that mic away from that person, whoever it is. So that's another notch on the pros and cons list of whether or not you should hire a planner.
Excellent.
Yeah. So the timeline for toast typically, and again, you know, rules are made to be broken, but usually if you have 6 or 7 people who want to give toasts, try to have a couple of those people go the night before at the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah.
So typically at the rehearsal dinner, the parents of the groom give their toast at that time. And that goes hand in hand with the assumption or the rule that the groom's parents or the groom's family are paying for the rehearsal dinner, which is certainly not always the case. But it's still usually a smaller group of people and more intimate. So toasts are absolutely good to go at the rehearsal dinner. So that's a good way to spread some out.
Well, yeah, that's just a good rule of thumb. Like, whoever is hosting that event, they're the ones that give that, you know, welcome toast.
Right. So then we go into the wedding day. I kind of drafted out what I usually present to my clients, and then they kind of fill in the blanks. And if we have to go beyond this, we figure out the best places for toast. But there's 3 times typically that toasts happen during a reception. First is the welcome toast, and that's when everybody is coming in from cocktail hour and they sit down at dinner. That is when this person starts to speak. So it might be the officiant. If you had a religious ceremony, it might be the minister or the rabbi, because he's going to join you for dinner. Or it might be the father of the bride. Sometimes I've had the couples stand up and do this themselves as a way to say thank you to everyone and welcome. And usually this toast, this welcome toast or prayer, is pretty brief. I'd say it's the shortest one of the night. So then dinner is served and you've had salads and now you're eating the main course. You know, people are starting to talk and drink amongst themselves. And this, at the end of dinner service, is usually where I put the next group of toasts. And this is usually 2 toasts, the maid of honor and the best man, if you have a very traditional wedding party. But it could be 3 or 4. But almost always it's people that are in the wedding party that go at this point. And I put them all back to back. We talk about it at the rehearsal, who should go first, who wants to go first, you know, and how I will let them know and facilitate getting them the mic and where they're supposed to stand. And all of that stuff is already figured out. So the whole point of having toast during this time is that everyone has had time to actually eat their dinner, but they haven't had time to get totally shit-faced. That's the idea. That's a sweet spot. So that the nervous maid of honor who has thought about her toast for 6 months and has sweaty palms and is not a public speaker, like, she's had time to get some filet mignon in her belly and prepare, but she wants to get it over with, you know? So before the dishes are cleared, I have these toasts go. So then right after they're over with, I bring the mic back to the DJ, dishes are cleared, and we can go into the rest of the night, like the first dance or the cake cutting, you know, whatever. Does that sound typical for you?
That is, yeah, definitely. I've done it like that. And then I wanted to just lend something to that, and that is logistics, the timing, right, of when, so you might have, and if you listen to Quick Focus episode on bar and beverage service, I talk about this a little bit, but depending on whether or not you're having a buffet or a sit-down dinner or there's several courses or you have six people who want to give toasts, there's different schools of thought on that, right? As guests are seated, if you're having champagne available to your guests for toast or wine, I would definitely recommend you have your servers walk around as guests are being seated at their tables to ask if they want champagne for the toast. And then once all of the guests are seated and there is champagne or wine or whatever the guests want to drink in the glasses, that's when I cue the toasts. And sometimes the first toast is whoever is hosting the wedding or the father of or parents together of one of the couple, a parent. And then right before they break bread is when the officiant makes the blessing the prayer. And then if it's a buffet, timing can be kind of tough, especially if you have a lot of guests. And so oftentimes I will prepare my couple and say, hey, we might need to do these toasts as people are getting up and getting their food. I mean, if timing is an issue, if time rather is an issue, and if the buffet is in the same room where the guest tables are, that's fine. Also, there's always the question of if it's a sit-down dinner and it's, let's say, 3, 4, 5 courses, you know, do you allow a toast to happen as the servers are working, as they're clearing or serving? Because there's a bit of tinkering and noise that comes along with that. So that's all discretionary. And a lot of it is dependent on your caterers or your venue and how delicate those servers are and how professional they are. But if you have a lot of people that need to make a toast through that strip of time, through that, you know, the 1 hour block of dinner or 90 minute block of dinner, you got to just let it flow. You got to let it happen. And I always say also, like, 3 minutes is good for a toast. I see here on the notes you have 5. It is a long time. It's a long, and some people can talk. Don't get me wrong. Like you and me, Christy, we could easily give a 10 minute toast.
Yes. And I mean, it depends, you know, of course it's going to depend on who is giving the toast. Cause I've done a lot of weddings where there's a lot of performers there, whether it's, you know, theater people. And these people are great speakers and they have a way of crafting a toast. They can, that is very storytelling and entertaining. And before you know it, 10 minutes have passed. But that has to be worked out in the timeline. It can be a great 10 minutes. People laugh, they cry, they hug each other. It's amazing. But, you know, you don't want that to be the reason why you don't get to have any open dancing at the end of the night.
Exactly.
So it all has to be worked out ahead of time if possible. That's the goal.
That's the goal. And that's why I'm saying, let them eat while the toast is happening. You know what I mean? Don't hold people up so that 5 people can make toast. It's not necessary.
If you're going to have people in the buffet line, they're quietly serving themselves dinner. They can still hear a toast.
Absolutely.
I do just try to get the actual toasters themselves dinner first. on the earlier side of things.
Yeah.
In that case.
And Christy and I, you know, again, if you have a professional wedding consultant there on your wedding day, that person is going to make sure that he or she is giving your mom or dad a good 5-minute buffer. Like, hey, just want to let you know your toast is coming up in about 5-10 minutes. If you need to use the restroom, fix your lipstick, grab your food. And then we also make sure that your grandparents are in the room to hear that. Mm-hmm. Or
the photographer is there.
Oh, God, yes, the photographer. Absolutely. They have a timeline. They better be in there.
Yeah, but vendors eat a lot of times. When they eat is when your guests are eating.
Yeah.
That's another argument for having, if you have a salad course or a first or second course, let those be toast-free if you can. And that will give vendors time to shove a granola bar in their mouth in the, you know, in the vendor room and then run in to capture the toast. If you have a videographer,
absolutely,
then that adds one extra layer on toast because your toasters are going to need to be mic'd. Not necessarily mic'd so that people can hear them, because if it's a small room, maybe they're going to say, oh, everyone can hear me, I'm loud. But the videographer is going to want them to be mic'd so that he or she can capture their voice for the video purposes.
Yeah,
so
lapel mic.
Yeah, that's just one more technical logistic to handle. If you have a wedding planner, they'll certainly, you know, make sure that that happens the way it's supposed to.
Yep.
So then the last kind of time during a reception for toasts is, and I think this is a more recent, trend, is right before the cake cutting, when the couple has everyone's attention and the DJ has announced, oh, cake cutting's happening over there. If you want to, you know, join them or shift your attention to that corner of the room, couples are saying thank you for coming and doing a little toast themselves while they have everyone's attention right before they cut the cake. And usually that's the last toast of the night, certainly the last planned toast, because after that, after cake cutting is sort of into dancey dance time.
Oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
And drinking.
And I did want to note that one alternative that we're seeing, especially for gay weddings, but I think millennials might kind of be into this too. I'm going to forecast that as young millennials start getting married more, this might be a trend, is having a toast during the wedding ceremony that is could be led by the officiant, actually given by the officiant. But I'm talking like everybody has a flute of champagne.
Oh, so it is a toast. They've got drinks.
Yeah, it's an actual toast, like whether they got the champagne as they're sitting down, mm-hmm, or whether they've already had 10 minutes of this beautiful ceremony, and then two servers go down the middle aisle and pass actual flutes of champagne to guests as they sit at the ceremony, and the couple gets them too, and they turn towards their friends and family and sort of toast to their new life together. And the reason that we're seeing this more, and it's becoming a trend that was started by same-sex ceremonies, is because a lot of times, well, at least our guess is, a lot of times the guests at a gay wedding might be a lot of chosen family members. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, gotcha.
It's not their family they were born with. Yeah, it's their chosen family.
Family.
It's really important that they know that everyone there, and that everyone there gets to tell that couple who maybe wasn't able to get married for 20 years of their relationship. It's a way to celebrate finally getting married, but it's also this really beautiful way for all of the guests to say, we cheers you, we support you, and today we celebrate you. So I think it's pretty much the coolest thing to do during a ceremony. It's really joyous, and I just love every bit of it.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I love that.
Yeah, it's really nice. So those are kind of the main times. I think any alternate toasts that are sort of around right now is that if the couple's pretty young, like in their early 20s, a lot of times both sets of parents want to give a toast at the reception.
Yeah, I usually recommend that anyway. I like it. I personally like it. I think it's nice to hear from both sides, for mm-hmm. sure. It is a union after all, right? I mean, you're bringing together two families.
Yeah. And it's, you know, there's always the dad, usually, that you can tell, like, holds his cards pretty close to the vest, as it were, and tears up a little bit when, giving this toast because it maybe truly is the only time he's said these things out loud. And those moments are just the best. I mean, they really are. Like, you feel like when you're in the room that you're witnessing something that doesn't happen very often, that this guy is saying, you know, I love the way my daughter looks when she's with you, or, you know, I never thought.
Look at my you. You're like starting to cry already.
I know. I just, oh my God. Love it so much.
She cries so easily.
I have so many good, just heartfelt memories of toasts during weddings that I've done. And it always makes me feel really, really grateful to be a wedding planner.
Yeah.
No matter how much like hard work or, you know, stress it was during the process, I'm almost always completely refueled by the toasts. So I'm a total sap also.
You are a sap. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of went out of order about the things to remember, but the top one we didn't mention. So why don't you mention that?
Oh, right. It's not, I say this at the rehearsal, it's not a toast. It's not a roast. It's a toast. So for your frat boy, you know, best man who is like really gonna just, you know, go there, that's not the time to bring up whatever happened.
No, that's the bachelor party.
Whatever happened at the Sigma Nu house sophomore year, like keep it out. It's not a roast. And I usually give this like sort of warning that let's try to keep it to 5 minutes, and you don't want to roast this couple. It's their wedding day. But I'm also watching, and that, you know, they know me by that point, so they know that I'm going to be in there watching. And I've never had to pull a microphone, you know, or like usher somebody away from their toast, but I came really, really close one time, and it was for a father of the bride.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
A father of the groom once went off the rails too and like took his shirt off was sweating profusely and was, this was actually one of Kristen's weddings that I assisted back in like the long time allure
Kristen for me?
Days. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yes, it was a famous, I don't know if he was, he was famous. My husband has confirmed that he's famous, but some big baseball player's wedding that we did, and I shall not name the player, mostly because I cannot pronounce his last name, so that will give you a hint. But his wedding party was insane pants. It was like 15 groomsmen and 15 bridesmaids.
Where was it? Do you remember? I'm trying to
remember
this.
Yeah, it was at a San Jose country club.
Oh my God, that was so long ago.
Yeah, I want to say like the Woods, but that's wrong, but something country clubby in San Jose. So this player was young, and his dad was his best man.
Wait, what team did he play for? Was it a Giants? No. A's? Do we know? You don't remember?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I know he's still playing, and I'm sure it's a different team now. Anyway, the dad got really, really close in his very long-winded, drunken toast for me having to like edge closer and just be like, okay, great, and sort of move him along. But I didn't, because as I was like physically inching closer to him, he saw me and like wrapped it up. But I have had to do that with a father of the bride at another wedding, because he was starting to get like ugly. Like he thought it was funny, and it wasn't funny. It was like, it kind of insulting. Ugh, it was so awkward. My stomach just does flips thinking about this, because these toasts are supposed to be such a great, you know, heartfelt, sweet moment. And then if they turn sour, it's like, it just goes downhill so fast. And everyone in the room knows and starts looking at each other like, oh my God, I can't believe he said that, or whatever. It's something that as a wedding planner, I wouldn't say it's like our worst nightmare as wedding planners, but it's up there.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
In terms of like, oh, this is horrible. What do I do? He's paying for this entire wedding. I'm supposed to go yank a mic out of his hand?
No, you can't.
Come on.
You can't. Do you have any tips for people out there who are going to be giving toasts and maybe some work, you know, like they don't know what to do or where to start?
You know, I like to keep it simple and, you know, just brainstorm, get it out there. I'm actually working on my toast that I'm going to give at Lauren's wedding. And I'm her, my best friend's getting married. I'm her maid of honor. And as I think of things that I want to include in my toast, I'm writing them in my phone. So I have this ongoing kind of brainstorm, like get all the ideas out. But I think a good way to remember it is by keeping a really simple outline. So maybe you start with, you know, a funny anecdote and then a more serious anecdote at some time that this person showed you, you know, how compassionate they are, or, you know, sometime you saw them being really amazing when nobody else saw and you wanted to share that story. And then I like it when people include some sort of like definition. There's ways to create an outline that makes it simple on the day of so that you don't need note cards or something written down. But it's totally okay if you do use that.
Oh, yeah, totally okay.
But if you don't want to and you want to just go from standing up and able to talk, then it's nice to have a really simple outline in your head. So I think we should do a quick focus for toasts about how to write a really great toast.
That's a good idea.
And I'll look up some references that I've given to people in the wedding party that have actually asked me before.
That reminds me of, you remember the movie The Wedding Planner with Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo. Do you remember that scene where she's like feeding the best man his toast in his ear? Like she gives him a headset.
No,
and she's like
I don't remember, but
toast,
that's perfect.
And he's like saying it and she's like behind the pillar, like telling him exactly what to say.
But she's really talking about how she feels about
I know. She
somebody,
gives the same
right?
one. Yeah, yeah, okay. She does it the same yes. one at every wedding. But just so all of our listeners out there know, that has never happened to me. I've never had to give somebody, like tell them what to do or what to say for a toast.
Yeah, never happened with content, but I have had
advice.
Advice, like, you know, do you have any references you could give me on, because I want to write a good one. But I've also had really, really nervous toasters who wanted to give me their toast first. Like, can you come in the bathroom with me really quick and let me just say it to you, which I totally oblige, of course. Yeah, and I'm a performer at heart too. So I'm looking at things as like these beautiful emotional moments, but I'm also looking at them like, yes, that was a great way to wrap it up. And the last thing you said totally tied into the first thing you said. It was masterful. You know, a good toast, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, there's an art to it. You know, if you're listening to this and you are an engaged person planning your wedding, find out who wants to give a toast. Decide who you want to give a toast at your wedding and just let go after that. Like, don't micromanage the toast. Make sure that you're present and able to enjoy them, because truly it does not happen again.
No, it's really great. And like you said in the beginning, and I'll reframe that, you should appreciate these toasts, and you should appreciate anybody who wants, well, not anybody, but most people who want to give, say some lovely things about you on your wedding day.
Yeah.
Welcome that with open arms and open heart. And then one more little tip I'd like to give. Oftentimes when we're doing the wedding day schedule, I ask my clients, do you want your DJ or maybe the head of the band to announce these toasts? Do you want he or she to say, and now Suzanne, Christy's, you know, or Lauren, Christy's best friend since they were blah, 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 will speak? Or do you want to just hand that person the microphone? Mm-hmm. It's all up to your personal taste. Some people don't like a lot of
DJ-led.
Yeah, and it depends on your DJ, obviously. If you've got one that talks like this, like he's on the radio, But, I mean, sometimes it's nice, especially when you have a huge group of people, a lot of guests.
Mm-hmm, when they don't all know everyone.
And they're all blah, 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 talking, and poor Lauren isn't so great at getting people's attention. The worst thing is when somebody starts talking and everyone in the room, all the guests are still going about their business. That's the worst. So think about who the people are that are giving toasts. And maybe if you don't want the DJ or band person announcing them, maybe it's your friend who's great at getting people's attention or a performer. And they can do it in a way that doesn't feel so, I don't know, staged.
Yeah. That's a good idea. It's how you introduce your toasters may depend more on the toaster than on your own preferences in that case, to just ease them into it and make it the most successful, you know, circumstances you can for them.
Right. All right. I think that's it.
That's it. That's a lot of information about one of my favorite wedding micro events.
I'm surprised you made it through this without crying, Christy.
I did tear up a little bit. I mean, I could do a whole podcast about some of my favorite toast, you know, memories as a wedding planner. So maybe we'll have to do that just so I can get it all out there.
Get it all out. God, okay. Well, thank you as always. And I want to remind our beautiful, lovely, amazing listeners that if you have a moment to go on iTunes and subscribe, if you haven't already, or rate us, review us, that would be awesome. And what is our Twitter handle?
At TBWP Podcast. And the website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com.
And if we didn't cover something on this topic, tweet us or email us. Also, our email is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. Give us some content. Tell us what you want to hear us talk about on the show or any advice you need. We want to put out there what you want to hear.
Yes, yes, we do. And tell your friends. Tell your mom. Tell your friends.
Say hi to your mom for me. All right. Lovely. I will talk to you later, lady.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.